The word. Amen. The word that changes our lives. We've been talking about, are we ready, Ted? Are we going? Are we hooked up? You can, all right. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit and how important that is. Jesus has chosen us. We did not choose him. He chose us to go and bear fruit. We are the only way that the lost world is going to see Jesus Christ. And it's exciting because as we speak his word, he confirms his word with signs and wonders following. And the words we're going to talk about today is the words of love. It's the main fruit of the Spirit that all the other ones come out of. And basically, it's the character of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is really all in your born-again spirit. The very nature of God, it's the character of God. God said, I'll make a new covenant with them in that day, and I will come and dwell within them. And everyone shall know me. And it's through this new life that he's given us. We're being quickened and made alive. And so we have to develop that new life. In our soul, our heart, which is the seat of the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, rejection, rebellion, and pride, all of this is to different degrees and different people. Some of it you're born with, some of it we've developed because we didn't understand the sacrificial love. When we're talking about love, for today's purpose, it's not just a good feeling. It's sacrificial love, loving your enemies, praying for those that persecute you. This is the kind of love God is talking about. And there's all levels of that, even going to visit somebody in prison is an act of love. Because you got to take time from your busy schedule or whatever to go and do something. Service love, I call that. But sacrificial love is loving your enemies. And it's the foundational principle of Christian life. If we we have to have a mindset. Our mind needs to be renewed to the kingdom of God. So our mindset must, I need to walk in this sacrificial love. I need to love my enemies. And then you start to practice that, and it gets a little easier and easier, but it's always hard because of your emotional life. But this is why we live by faith, not by our emotions. We just live by our emotions, and we're trying to do things because we know we have to change, then we're only trying to do it in our own strength. And we can accomplish some things like that, but eventually all the problems come back again because we got to really get rid of all of this. And the way we do that is through this sacrificial love. So we talked about the love walk, that it's very demanding but very rewarding. And that we have to die to ourselves, which is what we agreed to with the Lord when we were water baptized. When we went under the water, signified our death in Christ. When we come out of the water, signifies our new life in Christ. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. Faith in the Son of God. That means we believe Jesus is the Son of God. He is Lord. He is resurrected. He has given us new life. And so then our whole life is committed to him. Whatsoever you do, do it in the name of the Lord as unto him. So our whole life is committed to him. If we believe that in our heart, our life flows out of our heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so your character, as you know yourself, is who you are in your heart. And much of Christianity is a lot of knowledge with their head, but if they don't live it with their heart, then it's just self-deception. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, thereby deceiving yourselves. So we have to live this life that comes with the new birth, and we have to do it through love. Let's look at Romans 13, 8 to 10, and we're going to get into the subject of love because it is so crucial that we understand that. We're going to spend a little extra time on this fruit of love because it is foundational in our character. It's foundational in eternal life, in God's character. And love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Romans 13, 8 and 10, let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. That doesn't mean you can't borrow to buy a house. It just means you got to pay that off. But the debt you owe, we owe each other because of what Christ has done for us, that should never be paid off. We always owe love because we've been given love. The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So no matter how many times you've loved somebody, you know, sometimes people say, well, what about this and this person? I just, he keeps aggravating me all the time. Well, love them from a distance, or, you know, or if you get, if they, some people end up getting divorced, well, then love them out of your life. Pray for them. Don't let any unforgiveness stay in your heart. You have to love people out of your life even. You can't just say, okay, well, they're over there and I'm over here. They moved into another city. I don't have to bother with them anymore. No, they're still in your heart. What they did to you is still in your heart. So you need to love them by praying for them, forgiving them, releasing them, and praying God's best for them, and then leave them with God. That way, it releases all the hurts and everything from your heart. And it's only done through this concept of love. And so it says here, love is the fulfilled, has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do anything to anyone that you wouldn't want done to you. So don't gossip about people when you don't even know what the truth is about them. Don't repeat what you've heard, because the other person might just be repeating what they heard. And all of that gets exaggerated from one point to another, from one person to another. Unless you know for yourself, I've heard people talk about certain people in the body of Christ, and I think, you know, different teachers on TV and so forth. I don't agree with all of them, but they're God's servants, and they've accomplished a lot. I don't agree with everything they teach or how they teach it, but they're still God's people. Let God sort that out. You know what? Our opinion doesn't really matter in the big picture. It's God's opinion that matters. And we have to discipline ourselves not to gossip, not to slander, not to, you know, sometimes you hear a juicy little tidbit and, oh, you just want to go and share that. No, you don't. Would you want everybody talking about rumors about you? Wow. As pastors, you go through so much and people get everything twisted and perverted, and you're dealing with demons and everything else, and they twist and pervert the word, and people would accuse me of this, that, and the other thing, things I never even did before I was saved and hung around in the bar rooms. I had more integrity than that. But they just accuse you of these things, and it hurts. And it just, they never, even pastors, they say, oh, you're that faith church, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. They don't even ask me what I teach. They've never asked me what I teach. Mm-hmm. And yet they seem to know that I'm weird for some reason. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. All right, now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll see how that works. It's important that we understand this, because there's nothing wrong with the law. It's God's righteous standard. But we don't live under the law in the sense of having to keep all these rules to be accepted. We are already accepted. We already have the new birth. We already are hooked up with Jesus. We already are a child of God. Now that we are, and we are in Christ Jesus, because he loved us and done so much for us, we love others because we love him. And that love is what fulfills the law. See, we're not under the law. We just, nobody can keep the law completely, and I'll show you that here. But this is where, see, Paul understood the Old Testament, and he had the Gospels, and he talked with the apostles about what Jesus said, and then he got revelation from the Holy Spirit, and he had so much phenomenal teaching. Matthew 5 and 21, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And we're going to see here, some people teach, well, The law is nailed to the cross. We just disregard it. No, we don't disregard it. Through love, we now fulfill it. But it's not there as a standard for us in our acceptance with God. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Heaven and earth have not disappeared. The law is still there. Nothing wrong with it. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you that unless your righteousness, this is your right way of life, not right standing, your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Phenomenal statement for Jesus to make to the people of that day. Jesus, how can we live better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees? How can we live better than the teachers of the law? They were faultless at keeping the law. Paul said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, faultless at keeping the law. And you want us to live better or we can't enter the kingdom? Well, then who can enter? Obviously, Jesus, you're saying they can't enter and we have to live better than they do and we can't. So how can we enter? So he goes on to explain this. You've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Do not murder is one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus takes that commandment and stretches it to include the attitudes of our heart. Where does murder come from? Rebellion, hatred, violence, murder. So Jesus, the Ten Commandments include all these negative emotions of our heart, which cause us, where does murder start? Because of our rebellion, our anger and our hurt, our rejection, we rebel, and it just gets worse and worse. It's the mystery of iniquity and how it works in our hearts. And so Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees aren't murdering anybody, but he said they're clean on the outside, but they're filthy on the inside. They're whitewashed sepulchers. Hypocrites. Talk and act like they know God, but don't live it. And so he expands the Ten Commandments to include even the attitudes of our heart. Let's go to verse 27. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Another one of the Ten Commandments. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now this is men... If we're men, we're attracted to the opposite sex. That's the way God created us. But if you sit there and dwell on these things and lust, and you're thinking of having sex with that woman or anything that goes beyond other than just an appreciation of them being a woman, that starts to get into the area of lust. And the longer you think about that, then it's the same as having done it. Because where does adultery start? With lust in the heart because of our rejection. Got a hole in our heart and we're still trying to fill it up because we haven't walked in love and allowed Jesus to fill that hole. And so people get caught up in pornography and they don't want to do it. They know it's wrong and they try not to. But they have a spirit of lust that drives them and they just end up going back to their computer or TV or whatever and getting on those pornographic sites. And then when they're done, devil attacks them and says, you sinned again, you're so no good, how can you call yourself a Christian? First he tempts them to go, and then he beats them up. And they haven't got that figured out yet, but they're trying not to do it. They don't want to do it, but they can't help themselves. But the key to all of that, as I said, the foundational principle of life itself is love. And we'll get to that in a moment. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Well, there's one solution Jesus has for lust. I hope he's got a better one than that, though. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So how many like that solution? We really would be the blind leading the blind, wouldn't we? Let's go down to verse 38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the social law. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants you to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Here's where we're getting into the sacrificial love aspect. Jesus is teaching us the very principles of life here. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So you're totally fed up with somebody, you've had enough, you can't take anymore, you're ready to tell them off. Jesus says, go another mile. Stretch yourself. See, once you're fed up, then you've reached the end of yourself, if you look up here for a moment. And then the rebellion, the anger, and everything wants to come out. Jesus says, no, exercise the fruit of the Spirit, self-control and sacrificial love. Stretch yourself and go the extra mile. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin because it won't stretch. And so we want the new wine, power of God, the glory of God. We need to stretch ourselves. We need to live beyond ourselves. We need to die to this and live by faith according to this. So Jesus is saying here, stretch yourself. Keep stretching. And in sacrificial love. Verse 43, I'm going through this sort of quick, but you're getting the general drift here. I've taught this many times. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. See, the law, the social law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's like our court system. If we have a grievance against someone or somebody's done something to us, you take them to court and the court decides and then they get a jail sentence or a fine or a penalty and we feel that we got justice. See, we have been raised by that system. And our hearts want justice. This is not right. He has no right to lie about me, cause all these rumors. I'm going to fix him. See, the heart wants justice, which comes out of our rebellion, rejection, pride, all of those things. And so we have to understand how our heart works and what's in there. And we have to understand the teachings of Jesus of the kingdom. And so Jesus here is saying, it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, see, now I'm showing you a different way of life. Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So if someone strikes you on the cheek, how about you? But I get mad. Anger rises up. Pride rises up. Who do you think you are slapping me? And the first thing I want to do is slap somebody back. That's the natural tendency of the heart. We want justice. I spent a lot of time in bar rooms, and that's how we got justice. And I was a farmer, and I was strong, and so nobody bothered me too much because they knew we'd have to step outside and discuss it. And so it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, literally. Settle down, Amy. That's how I got to be as miserable as I was before I got saved. But once I started pastoring and all the attacks came, I knew I had to walk in love because I couldn't pastor with all that anger in my heart. And as I said many times, but I repeat for new people here, it was so terrible I'm over the head with a 2x4. Because that's what worked in the bar room. It would have helped them, but it wouldn't have helped me. And Kathy got frustrated with me and said, why are you letting these people walk on you? I said, because I got to change my heart. I can't pastor if I don't walk in love and get rid of this anger, because otherwise I got to shoot people and tell God they died, and that won't work either. Because God knows. Got to shoot people and tell God they died, but that won't work either. We sold the farm. There was nothing to go back to, so it was, you know, walk in love or starve. What do you want to do here? God will put you between a hard place and a rock. So he sort of took me out of the bar room and taught me about my heart and then threw me into the ministry and said, work it out, son. Thanks, God. You felt like you were turned inside out and pulled through a knot hole backwards. It was horrible. We're watching these kids on YouTube last night, and Dave and Charmaine were showing us this on Friday night at the Life Group. these nine-year-old kids, and it's America's Got Talent, they walk out, hi, hi, like there's 1,000 people sitting there in these cameras, and I mean, they're in front of the world, and they're just waving, 9 years old. And then they get up there, and they sing like an adult, and I'm thinking, these kids have no fear. I started pastoring, and I couldn't stand in front of 5 people without my knees shaking. When you see these young kids, and they're singing like that, and you think, amazing. And it's just what we're born with and how we grow up and how we deal with life. All right, so verse 48, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. See, this is sacrificial love, your enemy. Who's your enemy? Whoever ticked you off. Who's your neighbor? Whoever needs your help. Love your enemies. This is the more your enemy has hurt you, it's the greater opportunity to grow spiritually and grow out of this garbage and change into the image of Christ. Greater love is no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Lay down your life for your enemies. That's when you can grow the most. Jesus on the cross, in his horrific suffering, said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And this is the attitude we should have. It's easier for me to love my enemies because they're living out of all this garbage in their heart, and I can just imagine what they had to go through in their childhood, what their, you know, the lack of love or abuse or whatever that made them this ugly. I pray for them, so I just love them and pray for them. But before I was saved, I would never do that. But because I've experienced the love of God, now I have to love my enemies because I love Jesus. But the only way I can do it is because I love Jesus. If I didn't love Jesus, why would I love my enemies? You wouldn't. Not at all. There's no reason to. Jesus is teaching here life in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. And this love is so powerful. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Or what benefit is that to you? See, we just are nice to people who are nice to us. We're not going to change this. We're going to stay the same or get worse. The only way to deal with our hearts, to purify our hearts so that we can be free and stay free, is sacrificial love for others. See, this is why love is the fulfillment of the law. Because love doesn't hurt its neighbor. If you're always walking in love, you're not doing anything wrong. Plus, you're being changed from glory to glory. Day to day, you're getting better and better. But it's like, if you really want to grow, you got to have this mindset that I'm going to pray for everyone that abuses me. I'm going to forgive everyone that abuses me. I'm going to be nice to everyone that abuses me. That's the mindset we need. See, this is kingdom thinking. This is how you enter the kingdom. This is what Jesus is teaching. If you don't live better than the Pharisees, you will no way enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be able to experience the kingdom now, and it's in us, but you can't experience it now. Maybe you'll get to heaven, but you'll look as one having gone through the fire. There's degrees of reward, degrees of punishment in eternity. The parable of the sower sowing the seed, those that have a good heart produce a crop 30, 60, 90 times, 100 times as much as what was sowing. Not 30, 60, 90%, but 30-fold, 60-fold, 60 times as much as what was sown. So we teach to the best of our ability at the 100-fold return, which is sacrificial love and a mindset of sacrificial love for others. You can be hurt, upset, crying, ticked off, but if you keep loving, you'll grow out of that. And if you don't, you'll stay in that and still function as a Christian and understand spiritual things, but you're not really growing. You can pray for the sick, cast out demons, but like Jesus said, many will say, I prophesied in your name and cast out demons, healed the sick, did many miracles in your name, and I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. You never experienced Jesus without this sacrificial love. The whole purpose, from eternity, we have been predestined by God to be changed into the image of his son. The goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Salvation is being born again, but it's just the start. Now we got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process we got to go through our whole life. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us holy. And sometimes people think they're too holy, or they're not holy enough, or they're not good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I was drunk when I got saved, drunk when I received the Holy Spirit, and then I was so happy I went and got drunk again. Because I did not know the Word of God. I hadn't read the Bible. I was dumb as a doorknob about spiritual things. See, but this is the way God is. Once you accept that Jesus paid for your sins, now you are in Christ. You're accepted. But I didn't think God could use me because the way I had lived. Well, then I got meditating on the Word and meditating on righteousness by faith and got a revelation of that. Then I realized if God can use Billy Graham, he can use me because we're both just as righteous as Jesus because Jesus gave us his righteousness. Hallelujah. People are afraid to pray for the sick because they're not holy enough. It's got to do with faith. But Paul also said, if you have a faith that can move mountains and have not love, you still have nothing. You can prophesy, cast out. Everybody's, the charismatics are running towards the power, which it's exciting. But if you're not growing in love, it'll mess you up. Amen. That's why people think the charismatics are all weird, because they're too excited about Jesus. This is what you do. You are a Christian and you do this, 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 and this. Don't get excited. Don't swing off the chandeliers. We want to get excited, but we want to grow in love. Because if we get strong in love, the power of the gospel will not mess us up. We will be able to stay humble. And this is what God is doing these days, preparing us for that final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It'd be terrible to be used of God and all these wonderful things happen, and he says, I don't know you. Depart from me. That's a scary, scary statement. And if we don't grow in love, then we will be doing the miracles. And because of our own rejection, we will want the accolades from people. And when we get to heaven, Jesus said, yeah, you got your accolade. You already got your reward. You're not getting anything more from me. Jesus teaches these things. This is what he said about the Pharisees. You're doing it for the attention. You already got your reward. I want my reward from Jesus. That's why I always said I didn't quit farming to play church. Jesus does not play church. This is the way it works. This is the way it functions. And we got to get it right or we're going to miss out. So what happens when we walk in sacrificial love? We are denying our own emotions because they automatically rise up. And we say, no, I'm not going to react that way because I love Jesus. This is what the Word says. And even though we're angry in our heart and we're upset, we're rejected and lonely and ticked off and all those other things, we walk in that sacrificial love in that instance. We're living beyond what's in our heart. Then this love of God, which is in our born-again spirit, you have all the love that you need within you already. You have all the patience you need already. You just got to practice it. It'd be nice if God just made us like Jesus, poof, as soon as we got born again. But we know that that's a fantasy and a story in whatever land you live in. But as we walk in that love, then that love, through that experience, becomes a part of our heart. This is how we experience Jesus in our heart. This is how the Father and Jesus make their home in us, reveal themselves to us, make themselves known to us. See, this is experiencing God. Not just knowing about him. There's a big, big difference. I've seen people that can minister and quote the Bible and just full of rebellion and argue with everybody and cause trouble, and people that are door greeters and won't shake hands with somebody that comes in because they're mad at them. And pastors don't know what to do about it. Teach them. Some people won't teach in the power of God and healing because what if it causes trouble in the church? Well, teach them how to live. Teach them how to walk in love. Like, you see how we reason all these things out of our own heart and the problems that it can cause. We don't want these problems, so we'll just stay away from that. We won't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We won't talk about speaking in tongues. We won't talk about demons and casting out demons. But it's the call of the Christian to do this. So how are we going to do it? Well, if you talk about it, you're going to be weird. All right, I'd rather be weird and be with Jesus than go with the rest of the world in the church world. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, but are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus here is teaching, if you don't live better than the Pharisees, who are faultless at keeping the law, you no way enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, if you have lust, cut your eye out, if that's the way you're going to live. But then he shows us a better way, sacrificial love for others. That will get rid of all of our problems. That will cause us to grow up and mature. We're always going to be challenged. We're always got to keep growing. But I walked in love when I first started pastoring. And Kathy said after 3 months, he didn't even recognize me anymore. I just forced myself to walk in love. Because there's no way I could pastor if I didn't. So it's either walk in love or... A lot of pastors will stay in a church for a while and then the nonsense gets so bad they can't deal with it anymore. So then God called them someplace else. And they keep moving and moving and moving. Well, they do it just to survive a lot of times. I forget how many pastors are leaving the ministry every week or month in North America. It's a ridiculous number in the thousands because they just get wore out trying to put up with these strong-willed people in the church who are on boards and their family or family members on the board, and they get their little factions going and do this and do that. And none of that is the kingdom. And the pastors don't realize what authority they have so that they can't function properly because they're set up. Let me explain something. They're set up in a certain way as a corporation by the government so they can give tax receipts. Well, we're set up that way too. But we don't function that way. We function God's way in the kingdom. We can have elders and boards and groups of people and have wisdom from everybody. But they can't vote me out because unless Pastor Bill and Kathy turn against me, I'm here and I'm staying. See, we only have 3 elders, 3 members of the corporation. Before the government, they're the only ones that get a vote. But spiritually, we all come together and work together. But this way, I could come here and stay here and keep teaching and fulfill the ministry God has for me. But if I have to run from city to city to city to city and drag my family along with me, that's not what I signed up for. All right? And so we set it up so that we can give tax receipts, but we still function in the spiritual sense. All right, in the sense that we can have elders, we can have boards, we can have all these things. We don't need them because our church is small. And we had them before. But sooner or later, the devil gets in there somehow, we'll give it enough time. But I'm still here, and they have to leave because I ain't leaving. Because they didn't hire me, and they can't fire me. But see, the church system is set up a government way, and they have boards, and it's a democracy. God doesn't have a democracy. He sets it up. He calls people. He sets them in place. And then he gives them the wisdom that they need to get it done. All right. So here, this is explaining Romans chapter 8, where we read, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus teaches here that love is the fulfillment of the law. This is what Matthew chapter 5 is all about. Then in chapter 7 and verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, we got to practice love. It doesn't come naturally to us. What comes naturally is all this garbage in our heart, and this is the way we've been programmed and functioned this way all these years. And our hearts have a homeostasis principle in them, in the sense that it keeps everything balanced in accordance with all the parts. See, we're programmed, we're born with this and programmed this way, and our hearts do not want to change because that's what's in there. So we got to force it to change. We got to say, I'm going to quit living this. I'm going to live this new life by faith. Then as we get stronger and stronger in this sacrificial love, this starts to disappear, and love is that homeostasis principle that keeps everything in its proper place. And the Bible says that, that love binds all these other attributes together in perfect harmony. And so the way we are in our hearts, at first it's tough. I just really didn't want to change when I became a Christian, but once the Word got into me, I got hungry for the Word, and I told Kathy, I'm not going to quit drinking, I'm not going to quit smoking, no religious hypocrite's going to tell me how to live. But once Jesus got a hold of me, things started to change, which is the way it's supposed to work. We're not under a bunch of rules and regulations, and you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. There is no power in that to change our lives. The power comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and our born-again spirit. The Holy Spirit is to sanctify us, which is a lifelong project. Anybody like Jesus yet? No, we're still in the process. But we have to understand the process. And the key point of this whole process is sacrificial love. And if we do that, everything else starts to fall into place. But we go and get so many seminars and so many teachings, but is it practical in applying to your life to change your heart? Because that's where the key is. The parable of the sower sowing the seed. The seed was the Word of God. The soil was the heart. And the four different kinds of heart conditions. And you can change the soil of your heart through prayer, repentance, fasting, all of those things. We can change the soul of your heart. And as you start to walk in love, the Bible says you're being changed from glory to glory day by day. It's sort of, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a seed that's sown in the ground, and slowly it starts to grow, and then you see the stalk and the ear and the corn in the ear. And as we were farming, and we would plant corn, sow the seed in the ground, and it would sprout up a little leaf, and then would start to grow. And you couldn't tell the difference from one day to the next, but you go on holidays for 2 weeks and come back, and it's growing a foot. But every day when you see it, you can't tell the difference. But this is the way the kingdom of God works. Oh, this ain't working. Yes, it is. Just stick with it. Perseverance. That's why the book of James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, because it's the testing of your faith. And we have to persevere, because perseverance must finish its work. As we are persevering in faith, trusting in God, our heart is changing. Not that you can notice it from day to day, but it's changing. And it's a way of life. You have to understand. This is why we're singing that song this morning, Ancient Words Ever True. Jesus tells us how the kingdom works. If we don't want to cooperate with it, we can't have it. Jesus is very, very special. He is the prize. And if we want him, then we're going to live this life. And it gauges, really, how much do we love him. Jesus said to disciples, who will love me more, he who's forgiven much or he who's forgiven little? He who's forgiven much. And what happens in churches is that people have gone to church all their lives, their parents went to church, and they're basically good people, and they're going to heaven, but they're not going to get the rewards they thought they were unless they're actually walking in love. The more you walk in love, the more you purify your heart, and then life just sort of unfolds before you. It sort of comes to you. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you will hearken to the word of the Lord your God and do all that is written in this book, then the blessings will overcome you and overtake you. You keep living this message long enough because you love Jesus. As you get older, you're healthier, brings life to you more. In Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit of God who lives in you, who raised Jesus from the dead, he also quickened your mortal body. But it's not going to happen if we don't walk in love. Because we got to get this life. This is the life of God in us. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to you. pray that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. As you start to walk in love, then this life will quicken your mortal body. He sent his word and healed them. And so the more, I mean, we can meditate on healing and faith, and that's great because it raises your faith to a point where you can receive that healing. But you still got to lift the message, and it will even affect your mortal body. Rejection. If we're full of rejection, negative self-image, oh, I'm so no good, I'm this, I'm that, it will affect your immune system because that is the message that you are sending to your whole body. And your immune system, autoimmune systems come because people are full of rejection. And if they don't walk in love to get out of their rejection, they can get lupus and nervous disease of all different kinds because the autoimmune system has white corpuscles that attack the enemy. But when we say we're no good and we think that way all the time, then the immune system gets confused and it starts attacking the good cells instead of the bad cells. See, God has made us a certain way. And Jesus' teaching is how to live and to think. Be you transformed by renewing of your mind. To live in the kingdom and to experience the kingdom and to experience life, which includes our physical bodies. So we've had many people that have gone into mental institutions to go to Homewood in Guelph for a few months or a few weeks, every 6 months or something. And then they'd heard about our ministry and they'd come to us and we'd give them scriptures to meditate on and who they are in Christ and do deliverance because demonic spirits will attach themselves to these things, especially if we walk in unforgiveness, which Jesus also taught. And once they're set free and we get them in the Word and they start to grow, they never go back. They're free. He sent his Word and healed them. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. The power of God is in us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In our new birth, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and our faith in Jesus because we love him, we can. It is the answer to every problem in life, in our society, in the church. That's how important this sacrificial love is. My goodness, I only got through point one here today, and I got about 10 points to go through. But let's look at chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Again, we're talking about the heart here, inwardly. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We ought to be spiritually astute enough to understand the kingdom of God, what we have and what his character is like by the fruit of the Spirit, and we ought to know ourselves well enough to know what's coming out of us. So, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we can put on an act sometimes, which a lot of people do Sunday mornings, but what are we like during the week? What do we do when we, it took me a couple of years, I think, to stop cursing when I hit my thumb with a hammer or something. But the way I was taught was, oh, you're not like that anymore. You're like this now because you're a new creation. So yeah, well, you should have been loading pigs with me on Monday morning. You would have realized I haven't changed yet. It was a process. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, developing the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to know people by what they say and how they act. Just listen to a person long enough. And in everyday life, in every situation, from the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaks. And whatever's in there is going to come out sooner or later. All it takes is the circumstances of life and pressure of life. That's why Jesus said, build your house on the rock, which is Jesus, which is his word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Are we wise people? Are we building our house on the rock? How do you do that? Walking in sacrificial love so that that life that's in your born-again spirit comes into your heart and it actually becomes a part of you. And then all the negative things disappear. When the trials of life come, you're mature and you can handle it. You don't panic, you don't worry, you don't fret. Why? Because you trust in God and you rest in him. It's not something that happens overnight. This is a lifelong commitment, which is really what everybody makes when they make Jesus the Lord of their life. But, you know, you go to church and dance around a little bit and pay your tithes and sing in the choir, they think that's the commitment. That's not even the start of it, hardly. You can do that and still be ugly in your heart. Amen? It's just Sunday morning. This is the way we're supposed to act Sunday morning. I like you guys because when I come around, you keep talking the same. The rain came down and streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, Jesus said, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we believe in our hearts, then we will live this. Jesus said, if you love me and hate your brother, you're a liar. I mean, we're going to look at those scriptures, not today, but he basically says that. You're a liar. I mean, that's pastor talks like that, and everybody leaves. Jesus talked like that. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus is talking here about our lives. What are we building our lives on? The very life of Jesus himself. And we've not yet suffered to the point of shedding our blood like Jesus has. And he is our example. If we want his life, then we got to live the way he lived. Sacrifice, willing to sacrifice. He set aside his divinity in the sense that he lowered himself to become a human being in a flesh body and became obedient even to death. And he learned obedience, the Bible says, as a man by what he suffered. No pain, no gain. So it's not just, you know, we come and we praise the Lord. We have a great time together. We enjoy his presence. But when it comes to living, we're very, very serious. Well, we're serious about praising him too. But I mean, this is your life. This is your future. This is your eternal destiny. And so as you keep walking in love, you're fulfilling the law. You're changing your heart. All of this starts to disappear a little bit at a time. But it's a process that you got to stick with over the years. But I realize that whatever's in my heart is going to affect my relationship with God, my wife, my children, my ministry, your business, the blessings of God in my life. Let me repeat again here what I've said many times. Everybody wants to be blessed of God, but it's not up to God how much you're blessed. It's up to you. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. Because we are in Christ Jesus, everything already belongs to us. It's already there. Everything is in our born-again spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit. Everything is already there. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because we're going to have to answer to God for it someday, what we've done with this great salvation he has given us. Be ye holy as I am holy. But as we work it out, the blessings come. People want all the blessings of God, but they don't want to live the life that goes with it. Want the blessings of God and stay ugly with your neighbor. It just, you want the blessings of God living for the devil. And it doesn't work that way. But yet they don't get it. I don't know why they don't get it. Because they never experienced it, I guess. So you can learn a lot of things with your head, but this is what's controlling your thinking. Psychiatrists will tell you it's what's in your subconscious mind that controls your conscious mind. And this heart does not want to change. You got to say, shut up, heart. And shut up, devil. I'm going to live for my Lord. And I'm going to love that person that's got me so mad. And anger, you're going to leave because I'm going to love you out of my life. That's kingdom thinking. Anything other than that is playing church. Something, you know, over the years, things take different meanings. The building has become known as the church building or the church. You and I are the church. We are the church. And we can have church 24 hours a day. But when people get to the mindset that that institution and that building and that organization is the church, when I go there, I behave myself. But during the week, nobody's watching. I can do what I want. Surprise! God's watching. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're taking them everywhere you go. But we have to understand all of this from that perspective of grace. See, I'm not under law. I'm under grace. I was not going to be told what to do. I was stubborn. I had all of these problems when I started pastoring. And when I got saved, I told Kathy, I'm not going to quit drinking, smoking, or partying, because I wasn't hurting anybody. I was a happy drunk. I was a party animal. Amy, settle down. You can't picture that, eh? If you could have seen me before I got saved, you would have said, that man will never be my pastor. Remember what Kathy said to the Lord when the Lord told her she was going to be married to a minister? Oh, no, Lord, when Hank dies, I'm not getting married again. And then she told her I was going to be the minister and said, Lord, you're good, but you don't know this guy like I know him. But it's the word working in our heart. And when I got saved, you know, I used to be in barroom brawls, and I go to church. I'm crying every time for 6 months. Every time I went to church, I heard Amazing Grace, and I'd start crying. Got embarrassing. Kathy was embarrassed to sit next to me. Why does he keep crying? I'm just, God really wants me. Then he called me into the ministry. Me? Man, this must be the last days you want me. Well, Jesus called ignorant and unlearned men. So that's why I got called into ministry. I was an ignorant and unlearned man. And I've been forgiven much, so I love the Lord a lot. And we work this thing through. But unless we live this life, we're just talking the walk. Instead of walking the talk. But when we actually start living this, wow. Everything flows out of this love. My relationship with God gets closer, so I have more confidence in my heart about my call, about healing, and about all these other things. Love develops faith. The only thing that counts is faith that works by love. And so the more that I walk in love, the more that I experience God, my heart is open to Him more, and I have greater faith because I trust Him more, because I see what He's doing in my life. Everything starts to snowball out of this concept of love. But if we don't walk love, we get a lot of head knowledge and we're going around that mountain in the wilderness for 40 years and never getting into the promised land. I teach this to spirit-filled people who go into church for 40 years and it blows them away. But this is why we can teach to all these different denominations, including Orthodox bishops and priests. They sit there and cry when you teach this stuff because they finally know the foundational principles of Christian life. See, you can read these words, but they have no depth of meaning if you're full of rebellion and rejection and pride. How many people say, oh, I know the Bible says God loves me, but how can I know He loves me? By walking in love. Well, I don't feel like I can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Do you want to be happy, or do you want to stay in that whirlpool of humanity, wanting people to feel sorry for you all your life? I know this sounds like tough love, but that's what it is. God has given you everything. What are you going to do with it? And however much you can do, you're going to grow. But if you don't do anything, you're going to keep staying the same. Go to the doctors. Let them give you more pills and more medication and more chemicals pump into you to try and balance you out, which messes you up more. And those things are necessary sometimes until you get growing in the Word and get stronger. So we're not against that. Not going to the doctor does not build faith. It's the Word of God that builds faith. And we have to use that faith and grow so that we can receive what we need. But we've, over 34 years of ministry, we've set so many people free from all of this nonsense where they can function as human beings and love the Lord and praise Him with a heart that's healed, inner healing, deliverance. Wow. And it's not a shotgun approach. It's, this is your heart, this is your life, this is how you change it. How bad do you want it? How much do you love Jesus? Because you can go to any church and ask a question, how many love Jesus? And all the hands go up. Then when you finish teaching this stuff, how many love Jesus now? Well, yeah. I'm trying. That's good. Keep trying. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this awesome aspect of sacrificial love that you've put in our born-again spirits, Lord. Lord, it's so contrary to the way we were raised and what we knew and understood. But Lord, by your grace, we can live this because you'd not ask us to do anything unless we can do it. And you said without you, we could do nothing. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes this real to us as we meditate on it, that we get the full depth of understanding and knowledge of it, and we are empowered by your word to actually live it. Jesus, we want more of you. We want to be like you, and we know that this is the way. So Holy Spirit, I ask for your help for each and every one of us, every circumstance and situation that we are in life, that you would quicken the word to us. And even if we're full of negative emotions and we're not listening or we're too upset to hear you, keep telling us. When we quiet down, remind us so that we can correct the mistakes we made and next time walk in love again. But that we keep doing these acts of love. And even if it's just correcting ourselves for the first while until we get the hang of this, we thank you that you never leave us or forsake us, Lord Jesus. And all the time that we're in this process, we thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sins. As we continue to repent and change our lives and want more, we want to be in the light as you're in the light. And Lord, as we walk in love, then your word becomes a light unto our path. Ancient words ever true, come alive as by faith that worketh by love, these words come alive within us. And we thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. But Lord, as Paul said, we press on for the mark of the high standing in Christ Jesus. We thank you for setting such an awesome example for us, Jesus. As a man, you carried all of our sin, but you made us righteous as we accept what you did for us, that we would each one have a full revelation of that, Father, that you have already accepted us. We don't need to keep a bunch of rules to get your acceptance. You've already accepted us. We just have to live in this new life that you've given us by faith. Oh, Lord. Father, we are amazed at your wisdom. You set this thing up so that the devil can't do anything. He can't win. He can't, as we understand and know your word and how to function in it, that he doesn't stand a chance in our lives. We thank you for the authority that you've given us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of a new life. You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And this is what overcomes the world, even our faith in you, Jesus. We believe in our heart, Lord Jesus, that you want to help us and that we can do this. And so we step out in faith to live this love walk to even a greater degree than what we have, but that we always continue loving people, forgiving people from the heart, and living in that position you've given us, that right standing with the Father. We can always come to the throne of grace in time of need, because of all that you've accomplished. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I should keep you happy for a couple hours anyways, but if you get in the Word, you'll stay happy all week. If you live it, you'll stay happy all your life. Because the joy of the Lord will be your strength.